know, I just fell down. I blacked out, fell down. And when I woke up, it's a pool of blood on the floor. Pretty sure my nose is broken, but.
All of that occurred away from the action, and Gene Katie just a little upset with what's happened so far.
Robinson around Ostertag.
Down again is Jawan Johnson, 3 for 3 from the field.
You're listening to the Purdue Basketball Beat, a part of the Boiled Sports Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome again to the Purdue Basketball Beats. I'm Michael with Anish, and Andy is back from the dead. So welcome back, Andy. You're looking great.
Killed a fatty cat for me.
We did. You chanted some incantations, and you're good.
I resent that.
You resent that?
Yeah. I feel like that was saying, oh, the Indian guy just kind of said some stuff.
I said I chanted some incantations.
Oh, that's true.
Let's not turn this.
It is your Seattle magic.
Are we going to do the cultural discussion now? Let's do that.
After we're done about this, hold on tight, because we're going to have an abortion debate.
That's right. But first, Purdue basketball.
Yay!
Happy things. We really don't have to even worry about Purdue football anymore.
Can we just like take a moment to be happy that we're feeling good about something?
Oh, it's awesome.
It's so good.
There's that little number right next to our name, that little 21, like right next to our name. Oh, that's beautiful.
This is a spoiler alert for anyone who masochistically reads the Boyles Sports football predicto on Fridays, but the guy who just got done bashing Purdue football predicted what did you predict this weekend?
No. For the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks of the season, my strategy is to go in and look get transcripts of my favorite movie monologues and then predict the win, like hopeful movie monologues. Yeah. Next week, Shawshank is up there. Shawshank's good. Or no, this week, Shawshank.
This week is Shawshank.
Yeah, this week was my Shawshank one. Next week is going to be one for my favorite movie of all time, so you can watch it.
Requiem for a Dream?
That's very appropriate. But I figured might as well just get a monologue in there and predict a win, because none of this matters anyway. We're going to lose. Who cares? Last one was the Charlie Chaplin. I love that movie. Oh my God.
The Tramp?
Oh.
No, the movie about Charlie Chaplin? Or the Charlie Chaplin?
The Hitler movie. The Great Dictator. Great Debater. And I was like, that's not right. The Great Dictator, the last speech in The Great Dictator is like the greatest monologue of all time. That was my predicto last week.
I'm glad you're explaining that, because I'm pretty sure most of our readers just skip over your prediction section anyway.
Oh no, that's fun. First of all, you should see the Dictator, like the Great Dictator. It's a great movie. It's a fantastic movie. Everybody needs to see that.
Just watch that instead of Purdue football this week.
Oh, yeah. Just go. Actually, no. Watch Purdue basketball instead of Purdue football this week, because they're at the exact same time.
Thank goodness, too, because that's made that decision a lot easier. I sit there. I watch the whole football game every week. I just sit there with a blank look on my face.
I hate myself so much.
Something that I love be trampled on. It's like watching a flower being fed through a wood chipper. It's the worst 3 hours of my weekend every weekend. And yet I sit there.
Actually, the next hour is always my worst hour of the weekend, because I know that I just wasted the last 3 hours.
Oh, that's
and
true.
I just sit there and I'm like, I could have been doing things.
My wife is mad at me
for not paying attention to the kids, and it's terrible.
Maybe, you know what, though? We're close. We're headed in the right direction, and we're close.
We got to look at the film. And we'll be there. We'll be close. We're close.
You know, I think we've exhausted almost all of our options on offense. Maybe next time all we'll do is throw halfback passes. Why not?
As consistent as the game plans have been the last couple of weeks.
I swear to God, John Shoup treats our offense like a drinking game. So Purdue basketball, 3-0 and ranked 21st.
Oh, the best.
It's good.
Oh, it's so fun.
When was the last time Purdue was ranked?
Last time Purdue was ranked was Juwan Johnson and Etuan Moore.
The humble Tyrone Johnson never
broke it. They didn't because they had I believe they had kind of a struggle. They had a struggle to score in the middle of that year. So, yeah, I mean, like, you know, go-to offensive weapon wasn't there. So,
true. So it feels great to have a team successful, to have expectations that seem reasonable. And so far, against, you know, the local YMCA teams that they've played, things are looking pretty good. And Hammonds is back.
I'm celebrating for that, man. I've missed AJ.
15 minutes, 3 of 5 from the field, 8 points, 6 rebounds, 3 blocks. That's the biggest part for me, 3 blocks.
3 blocks in 15 minutes, that seems like a pretty decent rate. I'm not a math guy, but...
Yeah, that was pretty good. Isaac Haas, though, I think definitely had the game. In only 19 minutes, he had 17 points, 4 blocks, and 12 rebounds.
So, yeah, we are recording this, like, immediately after. Like, it is, like, 10:56 Eastern time after the Incarnate Word game. So, yeah, I mean, like, that's the one that kind of sticks the most in my mind. Haas was insane. Like, 19 minutes. I can't believe he only played 19 minutes.
Hey, let me pose this question. What teams in Division One do you think he would not start for? Do you think there's more than 5 teams?
Gonzaga. So Purdue, Gonzaga are the Kentucky. Two best. Yeah, probably Kentucky.
Yeah, they got a couple really good freshmen.
Still, I mean, we have to really marvel in the fact that we have two elite centers right now that, I mean, are pretty interchangeable.
Oh, it's insane. Baylor is another one. So Sam Vecenie at CBS Sports did one, ranked Purdue 5th behind UNC, which I don't agree with. Baylor, which is understandable between Torian Prince and Rico Gathers, yeah. And then Kentucky and Gonzaga. And I think Haas would start on Baylor. Like, I think Haas would start on Baylor. I think Haas would probably... at least fight for starters minutes at North Carolina, even though they're number one. I don't know. There are very few.
He's looked a lot better this year than I thought, and he's keeping his turnovers low. He's got...
Decisive.
He's got just over 1 per game. It's not bad. I mean, last year, yeah, like Andy mentioned, not very decisive, would bring the ball down, get stripped... He's looking a lot better. Now, it's easier when he's going up against, you know, 6'7" centers, but still.
Well, so even last year, I actually thought he did a really good job going straight into his moves. Like, that was something that really contrasted with Hammonds. Hammonds would bring the ball down a lot. But I thought his consistency wasn't there.
Yeah.
This year, it seems like he knows nobody can stop him if he just goes straight up and, like, makes a quick move. And nobody can stop him. I mean, like, that's pretty much it. He is the best. It's the biggest luxury that any team could have is a starting center coming off the bench to relieve your 7-foot, you know, All-American watch list player.
And the sample size is small, but to me, it seems like the refs are a little more empathetic to his cause, and they're definitely blowing the whistle a lot more than they did last season. Last year, they were just hanging all over him, and I can tell, especially early in the games, they're kind of they're not allowing a lot of contact like they were last season.
I think he's learning how to play defense without fouling as well.
His timing's a lot better. I mean, so that was one of the things I was talking about in the Golden Black posted the post-game like video of their press conference. And one of the questions was, because earlier this week, I think Coach Painter said that Isaac will never be, you know, a really great perimeter defender. But then he comes out with, like, averaging 3 blocks a game. And AJ laughed, or I mean, Isaac laughed and just pointed to AJ, who was sitting right next to him. And he was like, "I learned it from that guy. Like, he's the reason why my defense has improved. I think the reason AJ's offense has improved is because of Isaac Haas. They seem to be the best friends in the entire world. It's amazing. Like, we really have. I think we had the best 1-2 like center combination." I mean, so other people have, like, Gonzaga has a better, power forward rotation, but I don't think anybody has a better center rotation than Purdue.
I think Purdue uses their front court in a much different way than those other four teams that you listed above. I mean, a lot like Gonzaga is good because they've got five guys who can shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you're never going to see Haas shoot a three-pointer. I mean, God, I hope not, right? Like, that would just be terrible.
I mean, but Biggie's shooting, right? Biggie and Vince are shooting. AJ can occasionally stretch the floor. I mean, Haas.
Yeah, but that's not his game, right?
I don't want Haas anywhere like beyond 5 feet from the basket. But for Gonzaga, like Karnowski, Wilcher can both kind of stretch the floor. Sabonis is good. They've got some size, and I think they're the only people that can. That can kind of compare to what Purdue have. I think Maryland is another one. Like, you can, if they kind of grow together, like during the year, Diamond Stone, Jake Lehman, like they can be pretty good too.
Well, yeah, and they're going to be tough, especially with Suleiman and all the guys that they have returning.
That's right.
But. Yeah. But then Carnot Word game, that was the first game that Swanigan looked a little bit like a freshman. And I say that, and he still had 10-6.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what I wrote in the post game, which is, so there are only three freshmen in the last, 5 years who started off their college careers with back-to-back double-doubles with two or more assists. And two of the people are Jared Sullinger and Caleb Swanigan. And so I said this today, he had a bad game. He had 6 turnovers. It was really bad. We had to settle for 10-6 on 4-of-8 shooting. I think we'll take that. I think we'll be okay. You know, today he was, he made decisions quickly, but he made poor decisions. He wasn't on the same page as Vince and Ray Davis often. He still made some really good entry passes to both Haas and Hammonds, but I think his chemistry right now is better with AJ or with Isaac than it is with AJ. Today he looked a little slower, but still he's really good at his job. He's really good at what he does.
Well, and especially considering the fact that he's taken the most shots in both the last two games, he's had the most attempts, so they're asking him to do a lot for a freshman in a new, unfamiliar position. So, kind of considering that in, I think it's pretty kind of amazing what he's doing or how he's able to produce.
He also tied for the most minutes in tonight's game with 25, which is also interesting. No Purdue player played more than 25 minutes.
That's because of the giant lead, right? I mean, in all of these games, I think the most minutes anybody's played was Swanigan the first game at 27, which is where I think once we get into Big Ten season, I think he'll float around 25, 27. Edwards, Davis, and Hammonds, I think, will get like closer to 30, and everybody else will kind of float in and out based on who's getting minutes, but.
You think anybody gets pinched?
Sorry, say it again?
You think anybody gets pinched off out of the rotation?
I don't see any of the point guards doing much for us. Like, I don't see, today, I wrote that too, today PJ Thompson had a good game, or had good spurts, but they're both defensive liabilities. They're both massive defensive liabilities, and that's an issue. And the problem with that is that neither of them are better than, let's say, some of the shooters, like, let's say, Matthias and Stevens on the floor. or Stevens on the floor instead of one of the traditional point guards. So honestly, I think I see one of the point guards getting squeezed out. Klein looks really good. I mean, like, all of the shooting guards have actually looked really good. I do not see how Kendall Stevens can play less than 20 minutes. I mean, that kid is breaking out this year. He looks so confident. His shot looks smooth. He's making better decisions.
He's healthy.
Yeah,
no lingering injuries or anything along that line. So.
You know what's kind of amazing to me at that position is that, you know, I think a lot of people were kind of ready to jump on Kendall and basically say, you know, let Matthias step up because he can do more. But it's kind of incredible that all three of the shooting guards, Matthias, Klein, and Kendall Stevens, have played exactly how we wanted to play at this point. Because I think the success of one would probably mean somebody else was struggling, or at least from a minutes perspective, but they've all pretty much showcased what they can do.
I'm a little hesitant, too, to draw many conclusions from these three terrible teams that they've played, but as far as a start is concerned, you can't ask for anything better than what's happened so far. Well, Things change a little bit on Saturday.
So for me, before we get to Saturday, the biggest stat that jumps out to me about Kendall Stevens is one turnover in 36 minutes of play all season. And that, or 36, I think that's not even updated. So that's today right. Today, he had pretty much a perfect game. He had two turnovers, which was bad. Everybody was kind of sloppy with turnovers today. But he was 3-for-3 from the field, 3-for-3 from three-point line, 4-for-4 from the field. He had a few really great cuts off the ball. Like I don't know. You ask me who gets squeezed out, it's one of the point guards because these shooters are playing so well. And I think that's more vital when we start to play teams like Old Dominion, Florida, those kind of teams like that we might play this weekend.
Go ahead.
Do you think Matthias could at some point take enough point guard minutes that he would even start as a point guard?
He had
five assists tonight.
He's
playing really well as a distributor.
He's my objection.
At least those are thoughts.
My objection to him at point guard is that it doesn't utilize every one of his skills the best. It's really easy for him to thrive against teams like Vermont and Incarnate Word. But when there are teams like Maryland who are going to press him, like Indiana who's going to press him if he's the ball handler, I don't think that's the best use of his skills. I think the best use of his skills is running off screens, knowing exactly where everybody is, getting the ball and finding either the right passing lane or hoisting up a shot. I think he's a better playmaker off the ball than on the ball, if that makes sense. And that's why his assist numbers are so high, and that's why his assist numbers have always been kind of padded, is because he knows how to make that, you know, the second pass and the hockey assist, right?
But once the ball is in the half court, does it really matter who the point guard is?
Yes, because yes, it matters if the point guard is Matthias, because the whole point of why Dakota Matthias is such a great playmaker is that he can threaten teams with his shot. If he's the primary ball handler, you're not really threatening anybody with your shot, because that's taken away.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. Purdue's half-court offense really doesn't have a primary ball handler.
And so, again, I think he can thrive in some minutes there, but that Octius came a year too early, right? I mean, to have a defensive point guard that could run the offense, I don't think either PJ. Like, I think PJ is a very good offensive player, but defensively, he's a real liability.
I think Johnny Hill is going to get better as the year goes by.
That may be.
Well, and I think with Hammonds, I think that also will give him a little bit of a slack or a safety net. So I think that Hammonds will change the entire dynamic too. We haven't really seen that yet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So moving on to Old Dominion.
Wait, can I make one more point just so we
yes.
keep this as long as possible?
Sure.
What was he? Oh, dude, I thought it was pretty interesting.
He forgot it. He forgot his point. He forgot his point. I'd like to interrupt this.
No. I thought that there was a new dynamic, seeing Vincent and Ray D hit the mid-range jumper. Because, you know what, we haven't had someone that could create. And, you know, they're both looking pretty accurate, and we're kind of seeing shots that they haven't really ever had in their careers, they haven't been able to make.
So I thought that Vince Edwards, like, so my initial reaction was Vince was the player of the game just because he, what, like, his first 10 minutes was just blistering, right? Like, he went 5 for 5 from the mid-range. He had 3 quick assists. He was just killing him. Like, he's the one that kind of put the game out of reach. And then I looked down on the score sheet at the end of the game, and Ray Davis has 14 points on 6 of 8 shooting. I'm like, where did that come from? Both of them were so good just facilitating, like, facilitating with one step into the 3-point line. I mean, it's fantastic. And we all kind of expected this from Vince, like, particularly with some of the summer reports. And it's nice. I mean, like, he's showing, you know, a ridiculous amount of explosiveness that none of us, I think, would have thought were there last year. But Ray Davis... I didn't think he would improve this much, and maybe he just had a good game, and he'll regress to the mean. But I was really impressed with Ray tonight.
Is everyone okay with me?
Yeah, we can move on to the weekend. Old Dominion, move on to this weekend.
Okay. So Old Dominion is a decent team, but let's not overstate things. They haven't been in the NCAA tournament since 2011. I mean, they played NIT last year, got to the semis. They're returning some players. They've got a guard who's really good, Trey Freeman. He's scoring over 20 a game. So they're going to be an interesting challenge. And it's really going to be interesting to see how Purdue defends him, because perimeter defense has been the one sort of not-so-great thing that that we've seen out of this team so far.
Yeah, I'm kind of concerned, and that was the other thing that Octius leaving took away, is that we could put, I mean, let's say against Indiana, which is probably the most talented backcourt Purdue faced last year, with Yogi Ferrell and with Blackman, you could put just one-on-one. Like, you could play those two one-on-one and let AJ handle the rest of the court, right? And you could trust that Octius would at least slow down Yogi Ferrell. And both times, I'm pretty sure, Ray Davis just absolutely shut down Blackman. This year, we don't have that. This year, we have Ray still, but that's, you know, if you only have one defender and you can't switch, and that's huge because when Purdue is this big and Vince isn't that great of a defender right now, you can't switch anything. So if you only have one defender and you put him on ball, you can free up a lot. You can free up your main scorer just by running him off a couple screens, and all of a sudden you have him in a mismatch. Dakota Mathias is on him, or PJ Thompson is on him, and that's going to be an issue. Which is why I would actually say put Ray off ball. Like, put Ray off ball and have him be the primary help guy. And, like, maybe put Ray Davis on their second leading scorer, who's also another wing. I can't remember his name right now. Aaron Bacot. Is his name. He's another 6'4 guy. I think he's a combo guard. Put Ray Davis on him and shut down their secondary scorer. Help. On to Freeman, and then see whether that works. But it's going to be an issue. It really is.
So are we sure that Johnny Hill isn't a good defensive basketball player, and why? I mean, he's averaging 2 steals a game, which is good enough for 5th in the Big Ten.
I think he's learning how to play, and I think that Painter has a lot of expectations and a lot of, you know, very particular ways he does things. But the good news is that I think with his size, you know, once it clicks, I think he's in a better position than PJ to really be more effective.
And Octius was not that effective at this point in the season last year. It took him, understandably, but it took him a while to get acclimated to the team.
That's fair. That's fair. And I think I would hope that Johnny Hill gets better. We need another perimeter defender. I mean, like, that was the biggest... I say this, that was the biggest reason why Basil's red shirt was kind of an issue. But at the same time, Basil and Davis are very redundant. they're both kind of limited offensively. They both really rely on off-ball cuts, and they need the other four players to space the court out just perfectly for them to work. So to have two of them on the court at the same time is kind of hard. And if PJ and Hill were like fused like Dragon Ball Z into like one player, then yeah, like you cover the offensive game because I don't think Johnny Hill can shoot. And you cover defensively where just PJ isn't big enough. Like he's just not really that big. He's not as athletic as Lewis Jackson was. And that's where some of the issues can start. And what you'd have to do is just play them aggressively on the perimeter and hope that AJ can and Haas. I mean, like let's hope that Haas can handle any kind of internal penetration in the paint, like anything. Like that's why they could play so aggressively last year, right? Was just because AJ was in the paint. So we'll see. It'll be a test. They're not very good, but it'll be a test.
I'm not ready to write off Johnny Hill yet. He's shooting a higher who has shot a higher percentage in his career from the field than Octius did. What he can do is shoot the three. But he's, you know, an inch shorter, but 10 pounds heavier. He's an aggressive guy. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this team sort of evolves on the perimeter from a defensive standpoint once we start getting into some of the tougher games. But ODU is sort of the first sort of test of, okay, now that you're not playing, you know.
Now that you're not playing cupcakes, like now, you know, you're playing a real team, right? I mean, Old Dominion's undefeated right now, so. Aren't they? Yeah, they're 3-0. So, again, they've played cupcakes as well. But still, you know, you play whoever's in front of you, right? And, I don't know. This could be an interesting one, but I don't see how they can stop Purdue inside. I mean, like we're kind of fretting because you know Old Dominion has two guards that can work. Well, most of college basketball has two guards that could actually do something or two wings that can do something. Yeah. Old Dominion has two, you know, a senior 7'1" guy and a sophomore 6'10" guy. But come on, I'm really not concerned at all. With the way that any of our bigs could play, and that's where if Biggie has a good game, like I think Purdue should easily win, and if they don't, then we can learn a few things about the team going forward.
So, who gives Purdue their first loss then? Butler, that's my vote.
Butler, man, that game is going to be tough. I didn't know who we played before. I didn't know which came first, Vanderbilt or Butler.
They're right. They're back to back, but Butler's first.
Vandy's going to be a tough one. I actually think Purdue matches up with Butler pretty well. I don't think Butler has anybody like Weidman can't body up with either of the centers, and Roosevelt Jones can handle Vince, but he can't handle Swanigan. Vandy can match our size and has better shooters. I think Vandy is like a March dark horse just because of the amount of shooters that they have and the rim protection they can match it with. I think Vandy might give us our first loss. But then again, you know, if Purdue beats Old Dominion, we probably play Fort. And Florida, not terrible, not very good. You know, they're not the Florida of 2007 or whatever, but they're a real team, right? Right. And so who Florida plays in the first round? Oh, St. Joe's, that's right. St. Joe's is trash, right?
Yeah.
So didn't they lose in the preseason? Didn't they lose a preseason game? Like, weren't they one of the few teams that lost a preseason game, shockingly?
You thinking of St. John's?
Maybe. That's St. John's, not St. Joe's. You're right.
Yeah.
The one that Chris Mullin's coaching now. Yeah,
yeah, that's St. John's.
Yeah. But yeah, they're trying. So Florida should be awaiting the winner of Purdue and Old Dominion. So, it'll be tough. I mean, like, that's going to be a tough game. So this weekend, 2 o'clock. Don't watch the or noon. It's at noon. So yeah, not even a second of the football game. Just turn on the basketball game, and have fun. I think it's on ESPN3.
It is.
Because why would the number 21 team in the country get a cable billing yet? We haven't been on regular TV once. So why? Why? They're only a top 25 team with a preseason, you know, All-American watch list and, you know, one of the best front courts in the country. Yeah, no big deal. I'm not bitter or anything. No, don't take this
for me. At least ESPN3 is a high-quality system.
I disagree. I think they're both equally trash.
So are we starting the
sarcastic?
The media's against Purdue. Now that we're good again, we can start the obsession. No,
but it's not against. Like I really think it's apathetic. The media doesn't really see much of a storyline when it comes to Purdue. Now with the Baby Boilers, there was a storyline. With this team, I can see how you can be kind of resistant.
I think if we get thrust in the spotlight, there's a lot of interesting things about this team. But I think right now nobody knows about us.
I'm good. Like,
yeah, I'm very comfortable being.
I hope Purdue can win out and still be under the radar. Like I don't want media exposure for this team.
Yeah, no, that seems like something that would happen. So
yeah.
I think at the beginning of the college basketball season, it's always going to be the, you know, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan State, Duke, North Carolina. It's always going to be the big games.
Michigan State had an impressive win last night. Did you see that?
They played everybody and they won. They had some foul trouble. No problem. 25 fouls called in the first half of that game, by the way. It was awful. It was so terrible.
That's what the new rules are, right? Like, that's the new handshake rules, so.
Yeah, no, it's good because it makes the games more exciting.
You can't expect him to – I mean, he was shooting lights out. Granted, he's been against us before, but – and he has at least five of those games this season, but, you know, you can't expect him to be super
– Who's that, Valentine?
Yeah, yeah, Denzel Valentine.
Yeah, he's on a lot of preseason All-American lists, though, you know, like he's –
And the transfer
they got. Triple double, which was not common.
Who's that transfer? Aaron Harris, that's his name.
Yeah.
Former
Lawrence North ball standout.
West Virginia too, right? Like that's where he transferred.
Yeah, he played and shot lots. Like basically owned that offense.
He can play the basketball.
He can play the basketball. He can put the ball. The goal of basketball is to put the ball through the hoop while preventing the other team from doing the same thing. He is good at the first of those two things.
This team's fun. This team's really fun, and it's fun because they're not much like any team like in college basketball right now.
Is that an advantage or disadvantage in March? Round of 16, is that an advantage or a disadvantage? Or does it all just come down to matchups anyway?
So
take the cop-out answer.
Exactly. The old adage, right, is that the game slows down in the playoffs, right? So you would think that a slower pace, more grit, and all of that would play in Purdue's favor.
A lot of hard-working players, is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah.
A lot of grit?
But
a lot of high basketball IQ players, is that what you're telling me?
But I think that has been disproven in the last couple of years in March because shooting wins. Shooting and guard play win in March. Offense, in college basketball.
Offense is always won, right? Like, that's why Gene Cady couldn't get past the Elite Eight.
I mean, Wisconsin over Kentucky, right? Wisconsin over Kentucky last year. Kentucky was, you know, they were a good offensive team, but they were a defensive juggernaut. They might have been the greatest defensive college team of all time. And they went cold. Like,
yep.
they went cold, and hopefully Purdue doesn't run into that, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing, is that we didn't redshirt Ryan Klein, because if it's possible that, I mean, we had it last year, it's possible that two shooters go cold, and it's less probable that three shooters go cold, but, man, I mean, when... See, that's, and now I do actually think Purdue's identity is offense, and Purdue will have a tough time stopping guards, and that's why I think teams like IU with some really, really good guard play could hurt us. I think Virginia is another one. Teams with really good guard play or wing play could really hurt.
But see, that's not such a bad position to be in if you're talking about two top 15 teams that can hurt you.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean,
every team ranked ahead of Purdue can hurt them. I mean, Purdue is not the most talented team in the nation. It's going to come down to, the thing that I like about this Purdue team is that they've got two ways to score, right? You can either just pound the ball with the big guys, or you can shoot with the three high-quality shooters that they have. That, I think, is an element of Purdue offense that they have not had.
Ever,
probably, right? And ever since Glenn Robinson could pretty much do whatever he wanted.
But even in the modern era, though, this is the first time that we have, you know, wings. You know, even if you know, Ray D and Vince Edwards can reliably hit a three, I mean, and P.J. Thompson, we've never had more than two, you know, reliable shooters at once out.
And that's what happened in the VCU game, right? I mean, the VCU game, we just went cold. And
forgot how to play defense.
Well, Juwan Johnson forgot how to play defense, but...
Well, it makes so much difference from a spacing perspective when you have to keep it honest. Even if they're not hitting it, it changes the dynamic of the offense.
Yeah.
Do you think that Purdue could go cold, like, completely and drop one of these games between now and Butler? So, you know, Old Dominion, Lehigh, Pitt, New Mexico, IUPUI, Howard, Youngstown State, like those kind of teams that are clearly not as good as Purdue. Do you think we can drop one of those?
I can't see it happening.
I think it can happen.
Do you think we can drop several?
No, probably not several. But, it, you know, I don't know. We'll see how the team responds if they drop stupid one.
Like, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, cupcakes. Every year you have a lot of cupcakes. And there's always games where you grind it out and it's really boring, or you know you're in bonus with 12 minutes left. But the disparage, I feel like this team right now, just with the depth that we have, is such a greater disparage against some of these cupcakes than usual.
Like I'll give you a team to watch out for. New Mexico. There's a chance that.
Why do you say that?
Because they can shoot. They've got really good guard play, and they play halfway decent defense. All you need is a team that can shoot the ball really well. They can score. And they're scoring like over 80 points a game. Whoa. And
Who is Elijah Brown?
Elijah Brown, their guard, who's like all world. Well, he's playing like it.
Is he a transfer?
I don't know his story.
Oh, that's why his name sounds familiar. He transferred out of Butler.
Oh, are you right? Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, that's why his name sounds so familiar.
Yes.
And he is lighting the world on fire right now.
Yeah, he's doing it. So, I mean, a team like that, I think New Mexico is the biggest trap between us and Butler.
That'll be a tough one. I don't know. I mean, like, the Hammonds era has not been defined by mental toughness, right? This year could
Shots
be different.
Fired.
I mean, I finished last in the Big Ten for the first time in, you know, 15 years. Last in both Purdue, last in both football and basketball.
Not talking about that. Not talking about
that. But, you know... This team seems to be different. I would like to say that AJ is different. I'd like to say Ray Davis is the best leader that Painter has ever had, but
Lewis Jackson,
come on.
I would think that this team wouldn't go into a mental funk like we've kind of seen this team do since 2012, since Rob left, really. But... I don't know. I'm still, I would have to see it, right? I'd have to see Purdue get, you know, either rally from behind or give up a lead and still seal the win. Like any kind of adversity. Like that's, that Cincinnati still like kind of lingers in the back of my mouth, right? I mean, like that Cincinnati
team that's going to be really good this year.
That was a loss that was awful, and they brought back everyone, right? Except Octavius Ellis. I think he graduated, but pretty much everyone else.
Did he graduate, or was he?
He left. he's not eligible to play basketball anymore. I'm assuming he graduated.
Is it because he's in jail, or
that elbow was pretty fierce.
He has a history. He's had a.
But he, I, or that team, teams like that. I mean, I would hope Purdue could play like that sometimes. Like I would hope Purdue could play bully ball, and just kind of like, you know, kick smaller teams into submission. But we've seen teams like Vermont shoot well, and that's an issue. Like perimeter shooting is going to be an issue, and teams just could get hot. Vanderbilt has four shooters surrounding their center. So they could get hot pretty easily. I don't know. We could see. But this weekend, Old Dominion and probably Florida, it'll give us kind of our first test of guard play that could really hurt us, and whether Haas, Hammond, Swanigan, Vince Edwards could really punish people inside. And Purdue can get just enough stops like on the like outside of the arc to make it, you know, to make it a win.
So what's the biggest improvement for this team since last year? Shooting? Swanigan?
Biggie.
Biggie. Yeah.
Just having somebody who can facilitate as well as Vince did last year in a better package, right? I mean, he chews up rebounds. Like, today, he didn't have a great game, and he was just killing people on rebound, just yeah. Blocking. Like, I don't have the advanced stats. I wish I had the advanced stats on this, but I would bet Purdue's rebounding margin when Biggie was on the floor was astronomical. Just because he would either body somebody up, or he would go and get the rebound. He only had 6 today, but, I mean, that's a skill that you can have when you're not producing, when you're not scoring the ball, and maybe when Biggie's getting outworked a little bit on the other end of the court. But the addition of Biggie, everything that was advertised is what he is.
How high does this Purdue team get ranked before the tournament this year?
I'm scared. I'm scared.
You want to say top 10? You want to say top 10?
We're going to be in a position, I think, to be able to prove it. I mean,
yeah, Big that's 10, right.
So,
I mean, and not even like. Not even let's look at before the Big Ten. I mean, like we have the option or the opportunity of playing two teams that are in the Power Five that aren't doing well in Pitt and Florida. If we play Florida this weekend, and we have two ranked teams. I mean, like we have two ranked teams that are really really good in Butler and Vanderbilt before Big Ten season even starts. We'll have the option or the opportunity to get pretty high up, particularly when college basketball looks to be down this year, right? And that means that there's an opportunity. Like, that means that there's an opportunity for some unconventional team to kind of leap a little bit and to beat teams that they're not supposed to. So I'd say 11. I don't think that Purdue gets some of the wins that I think Purdue doesn't beat both Vandy and Butler.
But you know what? There is that game. Do you know the red button game for Etwan Moore went off against Ohio State? I think there's potential to have a moment like that where, you know, we might be 10 and we might be playing Maryland or MSU, who might, you know, be a lot higher. One of those kind of program defining games.
That's making me smile. Why are you doing this to me? There's that stretch late in the season. Yeah, consecutive games are at Minnesota, Nebraska at home, at Maryland, Michigan State at home at Michigan. And then we get, you know, Northwestern, which is whatever. And then we finish on India at Indiana, Maryland, and Nebraska at Nebraska. Like that tail end of the Big Ten, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games, that's going to be a doozy.
So because it matters so much, Purdue beat North Carolina A&T 81-40. Florida beat them 104-54. Discuss. So does that mean that Florida's going to beat them?
Nothing.
Oh, no. That means that we're going to lose by like 14.
I think so.
No.
I know.
Why would you say this?
I know.
That's how math works.
It's how math. That's how basketball works.
Okay? Dang it!
You just gotta play enough games where everyone has opponents in common, and then just do the math and appoint a national champion.
Hey, that's how Purdue won the national championship last year in football, right? We beat Illinois, but then Illinois beat Ohio State or something like that. There was a nice little circle.
Illinois 1-2 in basketball. How terrible is that? Lost to North Florida and someone else.
How about Wisconsin losing to the worst team in the SWAC?
SWAC.
I mean, I wasn't big on Wisconsin this year. I mean, like, you lose two lottery picks and the National Player of the Year. One of them's a National Player of the Year, and you can only be so good. I'm not really concerned with Wisconsin, but, you know, then again, Bo Ryan. So
they're playing Georgetown next, so that'll tell us a lot. It's tomorrow, I think.
Friday. Who won the Georgetown? Maryland beat.
Maryland squeaked it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those two schools hate each other. By the way, it's really funny.
Yeah, that's a good rivalry. You went to one of those schools.
I went to, grad school at Georgetown. It's a little different when you're a grad student.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm at Pitt, and I didn't understand how grad students at Purdue weren't, like, diehards, and now I don't really care about Pitt.
I don't care.
I went to IU for grad school, so I can...
Were you in Bloomington, or you were in Indy, right?
I was in Indy, but it was IU.
There's a doctor I worked for who did his undergrad. He did his undergrad in like finance at Purdue, like out of Krannert, and then decided he wanted to be a doctor and like went to IU. But the border, like he put his diploma in a Purdue frame, and it says like IU Medical School, and it's pretty excellent.
That's awesome. I got my brother-in-law is a big IU basketball, a huge IU basketball fan. So for his birthday last year, I got him a IU basketball T-shirt in Purdue colors. It's a black T-shirt, and in gold writing it says Indiana basketball. I had it custom made. I have a video of him opening it, and it's the greatest thing ever.
Man,
I think we got derailed here.
I enjoy being happy and talking about Purdue. This is great.
This is good. Beautiful. And now we just have to suffer through two more football games, and then we can figure it out.
You have to suffer through two more. I'm not doing technically,
I only have to suffer through one more because I'm sure as hell I'm not watching the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll watch the IU game. Actually, I'll be at it's the one Pitt game that I'm going to this weekend or this year because I haven't been to Heinz Field, which is where Pitt plays. So I'm going to see Louisville.
Honestly, that sounds like a terrible football game.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. I mean, like Pitt should win because they're not bad, and they have Michigan State's defensive coordinator coaching them now. But I'm actually going to miss the game. I'm actually going to miss the both games.
Wow.
I know. Some poor basketball fan. Ball. I am. I know.
On that note, I think we're going to wrap up this week's edition.
We have literally wasted your time.
Yeah, but that's what we're here for. That's what
The Purdue basketball beat / Pitt football.
That's right.
Thanks for making it all the way to the end of the hour. We very much appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Subscribe and do all that.
And log on to BoiledSports.com every Friday to hear quotes from Anisha's favorite movies.
Very true.